day after day one of the NFL draft, which I looked at and I'm like, it's cool. My team wasn't picking yesterday, so I was bouncing around Justin Fields and all the quarterbacks going all over the place and all that stuff. John, are you more locked into the NFL draft than I am?
Well, I watched the whole draft and I enjoyed it for no other reason than it kept me from watching the Dodgers lose again.
Yeah.
So I went, oh, I haven't checked in on the Dodger game. And I got over there just in time to see the top of the ninth where they scored one run but left the tying run on second base.
Yep.
But they are struggling.
They are struggling right now.
We're burying the lead.
What's the lead?
LeBron might come back tonight. Woj is reporting. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting. LeBron has been upgraded from out to questionable for the game tonight. And normally, Mace, in my experience, when you see questionable, that means unless something goes wrong between now and 7:30, like he tests it before the game and it doesn't feel right, that means we're going to see LeBron tonight.
Right. Which is great. Which gives us – how many games are left, John?
11?
10. 10 games left to round into form, to integrate everybody, to get everybody rolling. And, I strongly believe that in the end, the fact that LeBron missed, I think it was 6 weeks, the fact that Anthony Davis was gone for basically 2 months – is going to play to the Lakers' advantage once they get to the postseason. They were injuries, yes, but they also gave those guys a little bit of a break, and I think they will be fresher when they go to the postseason. What do you think?
That music means that Michael Thompson has arrived.
Oh, Michael!
Mace, yeah, you got to know my music by now.
I was going to say, how do you know they're playing that match?
I thought it was just some loud crashing noise.
Okay, your timing is impeccable, Michael, because I wanted you to weigh in on this. I'm going to say something that you are uniquely qualified to tell me if I'm nuts. I looked at the numbers with the Lakers with LeBron and without LeBron. All right. So with LeBron, they're 28-13. Without him, they're 8-13. All right. So they lost 13 games out of 21 with LeBron instead of 13 games out of 41 when they have him. They score 112 points when he's there. They score 106 when he's not. But here's the biggest number. The point differential, which analytics guys pay attention to, how much you're better than the other team. When they have LeBron, they're 6 points better than the other team. When they don't, they're 3 points worse. In other words, just having him on the court, even if he's not playing well, just having him on the court makes you 9 points better. So, Michael, would it be ridiculous for me to suggest that there's never been a more impactful player in NBA history? I know Wilt, I know Jordan, I know Kareem, but LeBron does so many things. He does rebounds, assists, he handles the ball as a point guard. Has there ever been a more impactful player in NBA history?
Really ticked Mace off. He's on the Mount Rushmore of him.
Oh, God, don't start with the Mount Rushmore.
No, you're not crazy to say that, but I don't know how you could overlook Bill Russell or Michael Jordan. And when you say impactful players.
Well, because those teams were pretty good without those guys. Like, for example, when Jordan went to play baseball, the Bulls won 54 games. When Bill Russell retired, the Celtics still went deep into the playoffs. Michael, you can pretty much chalk it up.
But you got to remember, if LeBron wasn't on his team, we still have AD, and AD was hurt, too, for a long time. And
correct.
He wouldn't have been as bad if AD was healthy.
But, Michael, without LeBron, I think the Lakers aren't even a title contender.
Without LeBron, they don't contend
with
for the
LeBron,
title.
With LeBron, I think they're the favorite to win it all.
Without Jordan, were the Bulls a title contender?
They won 54 games without him.
But we're not a title contender.
Well, they made it to the second round of the East. Yeah. Remember, they ended up losing to Orlando in the second round of the playoffs.
Right, but they didn't get there without Jordan. The Lakers don't get there without
LeBron.
Look
what happens to a team as soon as LeBron goes.
Yeah.
I mean, they just crater.
I mean, yeah, I guess he is in that serious conversation. Maybe him and one other guy, maybe that's it. Maybe him and Jordan, that's it.
Michael, I can't wait. If we get him back tonight, it totally changes the dynamic of this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, the Lakers play tonight, Mace. They play Sunday night, and they play Monday night.
Oh.
Starting on Monday night with Denver, it's a stretch of 5 straight games against playoff opponents, which potentially, so starting on Monday, here's the 5.
Yep.
Denver, Clippers, Portland, Phoenix, Knicks. 5 really good teams. Without LeBron, I think that stretch could send the Lakers into the play-in tournament. With him, I think they come out of it with a winning record. I mean, I think he makes that much.
Do you think we
difference.
Can get up to the 5? Can we get to the 5?
It doesn't matter.
Because if we fall to the 6, we may get the Clippers.
Well, you say, can we get up to the 5? We're in the 5 now. I think.
Oh, so we can avoid the 6.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I don't think, Michael, I don't know if you agree with me, but I don't think they go backwards if LeBron is here to stay.
No.
They'll take off winning, and they'll hang on to the 5th for sure. They may even catch Denver. But, Mace, I was thinking about you last night watching the draft.
Oh, good. Thank you for thinking of me. I appreciate that.
I was thinking about how you would handle this. When Lance was drafted by San Francisco.
Yes.
How would you handle it if you were in the Garoppolo's position? Picture it.
Yep.
Amanda hires a handsome, charismatic 25-year-old to sit in on you and Ireland's show to learn under you, because it's obvious she has hired this new guy to take your place in a year or sooner.
Under my tutelage.
How would you treat the new guy? Would you teach him the tricks of the trade, or would you totally ignore the kid?
You know, Michael, one of the things I'm most proud about in my career is that I've helped a lot of people get started.
But this kid's coming for your job.
He's coming for my job, but I mean, I'm at the tail end of things.
Oh, really? Oh, sorry,
yeah,
I mean that.
Boy,
no,
that's like something you've never admitted.
One more deal after this, and then I'm probably going to sail into the sunset.
Yeah, but you're looking at
podcast.
One more 5-year deal, right? You're not looking for a one-year deal after this.
No, I'm not. I'm looking for one with a player option. A one
there
and one is what I'm looking
Isn't
for.
Isn't that a weird situation for a guy like Garoppolo?
It is. You know, there's another one that's weird. I was just reading about this. Drew Brees is obviously going to be replacing Chris Collinsworth in the Sunday Night Football booth for NBC sooner or later, and that's awkward. It's awkward, but it's awkward if you're a veteran quarterback and you've got somebody like don't you fully expect New England to start Mac Jones?
No, I think Cam Newton.
Cam Newton and then Mac Jones.
I think Cam Newton's on a one-year deal. He's the starter for the Patriots this year. And then, like, Patrick Mahomes took over for Alex Smith, Mac Jones will be the quarterback next year.
And the same thing, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the starter this year, and they're going to transition. It'll be a little bit like the Justin Herbert thing. You'll get a chance to get the team on a roll, but if you hit the skids, they're going to go to the kid.
But the only way Justin Herbert started is because, Tyrod Taylor got sick or got hurt.
No, he got hurt.
The doctor punctured
his lungs.
Otherwise, they'd have wasted a year of Herbert's career just sitting on the bench.
So, by the way, I'm gonna pivot here. But, Mace, I'm actually surprised that as long as we've worked together that you don't know me better.
That I don't know you better.
Yeah, like,
I know
example,
you pretty friggin' well.
Right. For example, Michael, for as long as you've known me, okay, which is going on 20 years. How does this always end if someone says to me, Ireland, I'll give you $100 if you blank?
Oh, you'll take the bet. You'll win the bet.
So
every
yesterday, Michael, was
time.
Was International Dance Day yesterday.
Uh-huh.
International Dance Day. And we were digging. Scott Kaplan, first of all, from the afternoon show, did something called a dance. I'm using air quotes, a dance. And then immediately got us thinking. And they dug up, the station actually dug up a picture of me taking salsa lessons in El Salvador, and I have to say, pretty impressive. Then Ireland said, well, there's video of me dancing. There is video of me dancing.
You said, Ireland, I would give you $100 if you put something out on social media of you dancing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I told Mason that there is video of me dancing because Geeter made the same bet with me years ago. He said, you know, a couple years ago, he goes, Ireland, there's a team dancing on the floor
the,
behind
the Laker
you.
Girls, right? Didn't you go out with the Laker girls?
Yeah. They were like the Laker girls, but we were in San Antonio.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Something.
Yeah.
And I said, and Geeter goes, I'll give you $100 if you go get in that line and dance. and Michael's seen me do this, Mace. If anyone starts a sentence with that, if it's not detrimental to my health and it won't get me fired, I'm in.
Well, you were going to do something stupid, though. I remember at the airport, Ireland, what I bet you $1,000 to do. Remember the airport, we were standing by the plane, what I told you to do for $1,000, and you were actually going to do it?
Well, yeah, and then you convinced me that I would get fired.
Not fired. You get arrested. It was a federal offense. Mason, I bet him.
What was it?
I bet him. We were standing by the plane, waiting to go on the plane, right next to the runway. I say, Ireland, I'll give you $1,000 cash right now if you go run across the runway, an active runway. Can you bet?
I put my bags down.
Yeah.
Out of here. You can't run across an active runway.
Not only would he have gotten fired, I would have gotten fired, too, for making a stupid bet.
Yeah, that is a federal offense.
Yes. Jeez. I couldn't believe Ireland was actually going to do it.
Yeah. For $1,000, you would have done hard time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Michael convinced me. I didn't care about being arrested.
Oh.
But he said, if you get arrested, we'll get fired.
Right.
And I went, but it's $1,000.
Tim Harris would have said, well, Ireland.
That would have been straight to prison.
Definitely. Tim Harris would have said, well, Ireland, why did you run across the runway? Ireland said, well, Michael bet me. Michael, come here too.
Yep, you're both out.
Yep, you're gone.
You're both out. You're done.
I couldn't believe he was actually going to do it. I had to say, Ireland, you can't do that. I was just kidding.
Yeah, the video of John Ireland, I'll just say it. John, I just sent you the $100.
Well, I was going to ask Jorge, what do you think the chances are I actually get this money?
I just sent it.
How do I receive it?
Nah, you'll get
go
it.
Go to your Apple. I sent it on Apple Pay.
Pretty confident you'll get it.
Yeah. By the way, worth every penny watching you look like a goofball.
What if I don't have Apple Pay?
You do.
Does
you do. I just paid you $100. What do you mean?
Everyone has Apple Pay.
Everybody's
have to register.
Apple Pay.
Oh, wait.
You just have to register.
I just got a text. Okay,
yeah.
So I don't even know how this works.
Yeah, well, you'll figure it out.
Okay.
It's $100. It's $100.
I have to send 50 to the guys at Spectrum who found the video.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I said I would split it with him if you found it.
Yeah, what did AJ, the big boss at Spectrum, said? We didn't label any tapes. Ireland
dancing.
But they
found it in like less than an hour.
Yeah, they're good over there.
I think Dave Ramazzano, who's one of the producers over there, knew where it was and found it.
Yeah, it was good. It's worth every penny of that $100 to see you dance like a goofball.
Does he have good rhythm?
Lindsay, if Mason, Kaplan, and I had a dance-off, who do you think would win?
I know Kaplan wouldn't win, that's for sure.
No, Kaplan's dead last.
John, I don't know. John wins it.
Why does John win it?
Because he's
why not?
He'll be more
in front
expressive.
Of, like, thousands
I'll,
of people.
I'll go. I'll commit more to it.
He'll
well,
look like
one.
You know those things that blow around in the wind with the arms flapping everywhere.
Yes,
that's what Arnold will look like.
You know what? That's exactly what he did look like. He was bouncing up and down. His arms were waving. You broke the cardinal rule. Guys are not supposed to dance with their hands above their shoulders. You were
I follow no rules. I am the Elaine Bennis of dancing. I'm the male
right?
Elaine.
Isn't that the cardinal rule? If you're a guy, don't dance with your hands above
your
shoulders.
Didn't you see the movie Hitch? This is where you live.
What about
right here?
What about the white man overbite? Did you have that?
No, I think I do employ that, Michael, when I dance. I don't think I did it on this particular one. But if we ever have a dance off, I will definitely break that.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you, what is wrong with the Dodgers? I want to hear from Fan. 877-710-ESPN, lost 8 of 11 now, looked terrible yesterday. Trevor Bauer gave him a really good start. Chris Taylor gave him a chance in the ninth, but they lose 2-0. There are some stunning stats about how ineffective they have been. I got those coming up, plus a bunch of emails. You can reach the show any of three ways. You can call us, 877-710-ESPN. You can tweet us, at Venice Mace, at LA Ireland. Oh, yeah, you can IG me, at Venice Mace, or you can email venicemace@gmail.com. Mace in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so tonight the Rams are going to be on the clock in the NFL draft, John. And I've got a unique opportunity here. So the Rams, I think, are going to go offensive line. Technically, I think they want a center. But there
what
is
they,
a...
You know what number they pick?
47.
Okay.
47. And this is a unique opportunity. There's a really good offensive lineman out of Notre Dame named Liam Eichenberg. And he has been targeted as an early second-round pick. He is a friend of the family, believe it or not. When I was a little kid, we used to hang out with the Finnan family, and Heather Finnan was one of our friends. She's grown up, has had Liam Eichenberg, and her son is in the draft, an offensive lineman. It would be crazy if he wound up, if things came full circle and he wound up with the Rams. That would be crazy.
Yeah, wow.
I'm rooting for it. I'm rooting for it. All right, so Dodgers. I've got some numbers here. 877-710-ESPN. Dodgers have lost 8 of 11. They're batting .239 as a team. They're only 11th in home runs, and they're only 9th in slugging percentage. They are, over the last 11 games, batting .193 as a team and averaging just over 3 runs a game. Mookie Betts, in particular, has been in a terrible slump. Last 11 games, .209. With a .320 on base, .320 slugging, and a .302 on base. He is off to just a terrible start. Max Muncy, .231. Will Smith, .220. Gavin Lux, .189. The thing that jumps out at me, John, more than anything, is that they are missing Jock Peterson and Kike Hernandez.
All right, tell me if you think this has anything to do with it. You know, so many people told the Dodgers how great they were, including us.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
Do you think that they were so overhyped that there's a lack of urgency with them now?
A lack of urgency. Yeah.
In other words, I mean, they think they're so good.
Isn't there such a thing as a World Series hangover? Is that what this is?
Maybe.
Isn't it possible that they got rid of Farmer John and Farmer John hot dogs?
Nobody cares who makes the hot dogs.
It's the curse of Farmer John.
No, that's ridiculous.
It's the Farmer John. By the way, people, you are so wrong in that. People are so livid about the fact that Farmer John is no longer the official Dodger dog.
So they're so they're not going to root for the Dodgers anymore because they got rid of Farmer John.
No, they're rooting for the Dodgers, but there's a bit of a curse going on, man.
There is no curse.
What about that?
There is no Mason curse. There's no Farmer John curse.
All right, Christopher Hernandez emails, injuries number one, Zach McKinstry, spark plug obviously missed, Cody glove missing. Bullpen loss of Knebel is huge. We don't lose last Sunday versus San Diego. Split that series probably with Monday versus the Reds. Win just two of those games and things are better than they look. And they're missing Kike Hernandez. I think they're really, you know, we talk about the Dodgers' depth. And, you know, there's some Sheldon Noisy's a really good story. He's batting .211. Luke Raley's a really good story. Batting .206. Edwin Rios batting .093. If there was ever a guy that should be designated for assignment or sent to the alternate site, it would be Edwin Rios, who I think is like 1 for 1,000 right now. He looks absolutely awful and completely overmatched at the plate. There was another thing, and I wonder if the Dodgers regret not keeping Jock Peterson and Kike Hernandez.
Well, I think McKinstry is basically Kike, right?
Can be Kike, yes.
So I don't know if they, if you know, I don't know if that would make the difference.
I also wonder, John, today they are, I mean, despite the vaunted rotation, today they are going with a bullpen game versus the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, with this great rotation, how did we wind up already in a situation where we're going bullpen game?
Well, because everybody, well,
it's a five-man rotation. It's Dustin May's turn to throw.
Is somebody hurt?
No, nobody's hurt. They're just going bullpen game. And I wanted to point out there are a couple of relievers who the Dodgers didn't keep who I think they should regret not keeping. Yimi Garcia is 2-1 with a .146 ERA and 4 saves in Miami. Jake McGee, who we had last year, 1-0, .292 ERA, 7 saves. Tell me those guys wouldn't make for a better bullpen game than the one we're going to get tonight.
Yeah, I don't know why they would ever have to go to a bullpen game if none of the starters are hurt.
Nobody's hurt. We're off to a bullpen game.
Yeah, what? That's weird.
Yeah, no, it is very weird. It is very weird. Josh Claparta emails, huge fan. I'm never not happy listening to you guys. As for the Dodgers, for some reason, the Dodgers for the past couple of seasons now have had spurts where they just cannot score consistently. Adding on to that, the pitching has also been shaky out of the bullpen. That being said, my boys in blue have shown the ability to overcome these rough patches and ultimately win the big games where it matters and when it matters the most. I am not worried. It is the beginning of a long season. Thanks for reading. Straight to the championship. That's Joshua Clapparta. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a great deal of concern about this. Do you have concern about the Dodgers right now, John?
It's not the best start in the world.
You know, the Giants have moved into first place. Can you believe that?
Yeah, but that won't last.
No, I don't think it'll last either. But I am slightly worried about the Dodgers. I'm just disappointed that they are not coming out of the box hotter. Let's go to Daniel in Upland. Daniel, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
How you doing?
Good, Daniel.
First-time caller. John and Steve, you guys are great. I've been listening to you for years.
Thank you, man.
Been a baseball fan most of my life. I mean, come on, I followed the Dodgers since the 60s.
Yeah.
And the problem with, I mean, it's they drive you nuts, don't they?
Yeah.
As a fan, they drive you nuts. You know, like the other night when they won that game and they were getting ready to put Kenley in, I was like, no, you need to score more runs and get,
but here's the
know.
Thing, don't you think Kenley has been their most reliable reliever? I mean, it's basically him, Trinan, and Victor Gonzalez. Those are the three guys that you can trust out of that pen.
Yeah, but, you know, I pitched when I played ball, and there's times where Kenley just loses it.
There's no question.
You know, he tries to be confident, but he'll get into a groove where he just starts throwing the pitch and he's losing the strike zone. Okay, now with their hitting, they're looking at too many good pitches go by.
Yeah,
and they're swinging at a lot of bad pitches. But you know, when you grow up playing ball in Little League all the way through high school, and they're always pounding it, and you protect the play. But when you get to the majors, all of a sudden you forget how to protect the plate.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, do you think that there's anything to my theory that they may have been so overhyped at the beginning of the season that they don't have any urgency?
No, I don't think they're overhyped. I just think they're going through a little bit of a drought.
Yeah.
And they're going to come out of it. They just got to learn how to come out of it. You know, but another thing, John, I agree with you the other day when you said to put Julio in the bullpen.
Yeah, I think they might do it. The fact that they've gone to a bullpen game already, Mace, means they might do it.
That didn't make any sense.
No, if they go to a bullpen game, how is it that they're going to pull Julio Urias if you're thin enough in the rotation to have to go to a bullpen game?
No.
How do you pull Urias out of the rotation?
Wow.
Well, wait. I think
Daniel, thanks a lot for the call, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Mace, what I'm saying is maybe one of those things is linked to the other.
Wait a minute. Are you suggesting that they're going to a bullpen game because they're about to move Julio Urias into the bullpen?
Maybe. I'm saying it gives them that option.
Let's go to Devin in L.A. Devin, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Happy Friday and another awesome week of Mason and I and in the books. Happy Friday, boys.
Thank you, man. You too.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys. Now, listen, what talked off my week this week, Ireland dancing was the most awesomest freaking thing that I have seen. Dude, you should send the money back, John. Make Mason pay you $100 in quarters, because that was so freaking cool, man. And I was so compelled to call, man.
Glad
he
you like
in there
cool,
and got right at it.
Yeah, first and foremost, I am an idiot, and Mason forgot about that for a second. So there you go. Cost him $100.
Yep, cost me $100 bucks. There you go. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Thank you very much for listening. Good Friday to you. There, he's gone.
He's gone.
All right. No, not good. I'm not glad he's gone. I'm just saying, yeah, that's what we were going to do anyway there. Yeah, your dancing is impressive, John. It is impressive. It's an interesting feat that you've got there. All right, coming up next for you, Is it smart and acceptable to boo a player on your own team? That is coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ES.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN. Hey, what's going on? Big Friday. We're in the middle of the NFL draft. The Rams will officially get their pick tonight, their first pick in the second round, unless Les Snead trades back. By the way, Les Snead is not at the fancy house in Malibu. Did you see that?
Yeah, he's got COVID.
So he is back home conducting the draft. I guess Sean McVay is in the fancy house in Malibu, but we'll see exactly what they do. I think offensive line and cornerback are the two areas that they need to look at as they get into this draft and as they use these lower picks. They've always done really well at finding gems later in the draft, and they need to because they don't have a first-round pick till 2046.
Okay, so shout out to Jerry Weinstein, the great Lakers director, who just sent me this. He sent me a list of all the Rams picks.
Okay.
They pick 57th tonight.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
They pick 88th. That's in the third round. They have a second third round pick, 103rd. So between 57 and 103, they've got three picks. They've got another one at 141, another one at 209, and another one at 252. So they have a total of six picks, a second, two-thirds, a fourth, a sixth, and a seventh. And that's all going to happen over this weekend.
Yeah, there's a lot of buzz, by the way, that they're going to trade out of that 57th spot, that number 57 pick, and try to get additional picks, third, fourth round, where they can add, and they can fill some of the holes. I wanted to bring this – before we do the booing thing. So – what have we talked about here in the post-COVID era? What are we not going to do anymore? What are we getting rid of?
Handshakes. Shaking hands.
Handshakes.
Thank God.
So we have dinner with...
Michael didn't want to shake hands before COVID.
Oh, yeah. That's how I always got sick.
We have dinner with Juan's parents Wednesday night.
This past Wednesday. Okay.
And first thing Juan's dad does is hold out his hand to me. And I shook it. What am I supposed to do?
Fist bump him.
No, you close your fist. You go, let me give you one of these.
Uh-huh.
That's what
really?
I do.
My instinct was just to go right for it.
He's like your father-in-law. It's a little
right.
bit different.
Nope, but you got to get in the habit. Michael, that's reasonable, right? You just close your fist and say, let me give you one of these?
Yeah, in-laws are not your spouse.
But he's family.
Yeah, but it's not your spouse or your partner.
Right. It's
you
so
could,
Dave
Mace, you could go for the Larry David bow.
The bow. Well, I was going to do the salute.
Not the salute.
I mean, everybody's vaccinated, so what's the problem?
Why? Jorge, find the bow.
Find
the bow bit, and we can share it with the audience. But
was he double vaccinated?
He got both shots. Yeah. He and his wife both got two shots.
And he has a medical background, right? So he feels completely safe.
That's the other side of the family. Other side of the family. That's Juan's mom.
Okay.
Do you have it, Jorge, the bow bit?
Now, the thing with the bow is I think it would clear up a lot. I mean,
right.
If we just adopted the bow. Because, think about it, Michael, you would never have to have any contact with anybody, and you would be totally respectful.
Exactly. It's perfect.
You know who I met one time was at a thing was Van Jones. Do you know who Van Jones is?
Well, he's supposedly dating.
No.
He's dating Kim Kardashian.
No way.
Yeah, I swear. Google it.
Van Jones is dating Kim Kardashian?
That was the rumor like a month ago.
Yeah.
Wow. When I met Van Jones,
I've never been more jealous of a guy ever.
He did prayer hands. He did prayer hands and a little bow. He did not shake hands.
Like a
prayer
Buddhist.
Prayer hands and a little bow.
Like a Buddhist.
Like a you know, those Hollywood celebrities, when they're getting applauded, they all put themselves into prayer hands and nod their head like, thank you.
Like
I think that's another way to go.
That's another way to go. Like a Shaolin monk.
Yeah, like a monk. So, Michael, this is good to get your take on this. Francisco Lindor signed a long-term $341 million contract with the Mets during the offseason. He is now batting .203 with three RBIs. And finally, after this terrible start. He is now getting booed at home. The honeymoon is over. He was asked about it afterwards. Here's what Lindor said. Quote, it's interesting and it's funny and it sucks. It doesn't feel right for sure. Interesting because it's the first time that happened in my career, and funny because I'm getting booed and people think I'm going to go home and just think, oh, why am I getting booed? I get it. They're booing because there's no results. That's it. Booing your own player, and this has happened, by the way, with Kenley Jansen, booing your own player, is that smart and acceptable or stupid?
It's disrespectful because players should not never get booed if they are trying, if they're competing. Lindor is trying. I'm sure Kenley Jansen's going out there trying his hardest to be successful, to help his team win. As long as they're putting forth the effort, even if a guy is missing every shot or striking out, as long as I see he is really cares, he's passionate about his job and he wants to do well, I'm not going to boo him if he's in a slump. That's ridiculous. Now, if a guy's just sloughing it and he has a bad attitude and it seems like he doesn't care.
Not running out ground balls, that kind of stuff.
He just looks like he's just not into it. Sure, boo him. But if a guy's out there trying his hardest and he just can't get it going, no, why would you boo a guy?
John,
or girl?
Booing your own guy, what do you think?
I think fans should be entitled to boo anybody they want. But, and in Mace, you know this, in New York, it's almost commonplace.
Yes, it is. But who do you do your job better or worse when you are getting booed?
It would get my attention, Michael.
Okay, you don't think struggling gets a competitor's attention if he knows he or she is not playing up to their standards? Of course they already have their attention, Ireland. And when I played in the game and I was 5-for-20, oh, believe me, that ticked me off. And I was madder at myself than any fan could be mad at me.
All right, we found Larry David explaining how we should eliminate the handshake.
Oh, okay,
and
good.
Just do the bow. Here it is.
Speak English?
Yes, I am fluent, yes.
Oh, I noticed that when you apologized to this man, you gave him a rather deep bow, almost 90 degrees.
Yes. Yeah. I spilled ice cream, so I'm very sorry. So I apologize to him, yes.
Yes. Now, the other night, a Japanese fellow apologized to me.
Yes.
But he only went down a few degrees, kind of like that.
Like that?
Yeah.
Oh, that is not apology to you. No, he was not sorry at all.
He wasn't sorry?
No. He a little dismissive of you.
Dismissive?
Yes. Yes.
I got a dismissive bow?
Yes, a little bit, bow.
Bow.
Yes.
I got bow.
No bow would be better than that bow.
No bow better.
It's a blank bow.
I make, Michael, I'm going to try and use the bow tonight at the game to say hello
to someone. I thought you already had done it.
Well, Michael and I do it, but I don't know. I haven't done it in a situation like you were in the other night.
Yeah.
When somebody holds out a hand.
Are people holding out their hand?
Yeah, people have held out hands to me, and what I always do is say, let me give you one of these, and I close my hand.
I just yell, COVID, one. COVID.
Okay, boy, that's pleasant.
Well, it is the best.
So
that's a great way to
The next time, as a sociological experiment, the next time someone sticks out their hand, I'm going to bow. I go, I don't shake hands, but I will bow to you.
Yeah, just yell COVID. They'll understand.
The pandemic.
COVID.
Because people forget. People go, oh, you're right, when I tell them that.
Just yell it. No panicking or anything. We're all safe here.
No panic. COVID! COVID!
Yes. COVID!
Yeah, I just say, those days are over. Sorry.
You're basically yelling like you have it. COVID! COVID!
Or they may have it. Or one of us may have it. You never know.
I would think if someone started yelling, if I went to like hug someone or shake their hand and they started yelling, COVID, and backed away, I'd be like, oh, you have it. That's what I was
saying. Sedano says he bowed to you when he saw you at a game.
Yes, he did.
There you go. George gets it.
Yeah, George understands.
He gets it, the bow.
Yes.
The bow is coming. Anyway, that instinct is really hard. You see somebody extend their hand, especially a family member.
It's a habit.
You're like, what do I do?
Yeah, the public now has to get out of that, get rid of that habit.
Particularly if it's someone older than you, if it's an elder of yours. Like one of my parents' friends stuck out his hand, and I didn't know what to do, so I shook it.
Yeah.
No, you got to remind him about the pandemic.
Yeah.
You just got to remind him.
That's a tough social situation to be in right
now. It really is, and it's so weird how I talked about I'm not going to shake hands, and then the first time I go out, I shake hands.
Blame yourself. Just say, haven't had my shots yet. That way they'll pull their hand back.
Yeah, again,
but
why
wait a minute, Michael. Mason was inside a restaurant because he had had his shots.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Why. Yeah. Michael, do you know I'm going to a concert on Sunday night?
That's cool. That's good.
Yeah, it's at SoFi Stadium. It's the first actual event at SoFi Stadium. It's called the Vax Live Concert.
Will
to help with vaccine hesitancy.
Will you wear a mask?
Yes, you're supposed to wear a mask. Everybody has got to be vaccinated in order to attend this thing.
Good.
And it's got Selena Gomez, J-Lo, Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters. It's a really good it's a really good show, and it's going to air, I guess, on May the 8th on the Vax Live concert, which is such a lie because it's not going to be live.
How many people they are allowing in?
It looks like 30,000.
Well, 30, that's great. But that's a huge stadium, though. They could really spread out.
But 30,000 is a great.
They're not spread.
They're not spreading out. Oh, that's even better.
Can I ask you guys something? Something about the NFL draft?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know, there's all this talk that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I heard on two different channels today, I was slipping around, and somebody said, "Well, they'll never trade him. Like, for example, they'll never trade him within the division."
Right.
Like they wouldn't trade him to the Vikings, or they'll never trade him to a rival. Like they wouldn't trade him to San Francisco or somebody that they might see. In a, why do I care where I'm trading him? Shouldn't the only thing that matters be that I get the best return? The best deal on the table, like if I'm Rob Pelinka and I'm trying to make a trade and the best deal is coming from the Clippers, I'm not going to not trade with the Clippers because the guy I'm trading might come back to haunt me. Am I the only one who thinks this?
I kind of get it. You don't want to see Aaron Rodgers twice.
Well,
you don't want to see him
twice. What if that's your best return?
What if you can get a haul like a Herschel Walker type haul?
Are you suggesting a particular team in the division, or is this hypothetical?
No, Mace. What I'm suggesting is I would have blinders on in throughout this whole process. I would say, I know what I need for Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to get back the best haul I can get. And I don't really care where it's from. I'm cutting bait with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
If the best...
See, I'm not. I'm keeping Aaron Rodgers.
Right, I know you are. But if you resolve yourself to trade him, do you really not... Are there places you wouldn't trade him?
I'm going to say, honestly, no.
Mace, if you've lost your franchise player mentally, emotionally, it's time to let him go. If he doesn't want to be there anymore. That's like being in a relationship. You want to be with someone who doesn't want to be in a relationship with you anymore?
I heard this with Russell Wilson. They made it right. They made it work.
Have you heard Russell Wilson say that?
He's not said anything else about it. He's not grumbling traded on the first day of the NFL draft.
His silence is speaking volumes.
I believe in the Jerry West theory. If you don't want to be here anymore, just let me know and we'll see what we can do.
I believe in the Steve Mason theory, which is you can never get value back to match a superstar. There's nothing they could get that would match the value of Aaron Rodgers. They immediately go from Super Bowl contender to also-ran if they trade Aaron Rodgers. I don't care what they get back.
Right, but if
now they're a Super Bowl contender. Without Aaron Rodgers, they aren't and won't be. It's a huge swing. All right, tell you what, coming up next, I want to get into regrets. It's actually National Honesty Day. Regrets. Shaq did an interview on the All the Smoke podcast talking about his time with the Lakers and what went down with Kobe Bryant. I want to play that. There's some regret there. And then I want to ask you guys, what are your biggest regrets? That is coming up next for you. Don't forget, at 1:55, it's Fast Track. Mason and Ireland at 710 ESPN. Regrets. Interesting subject. I found this clip. Mason in Ireland, by the way. Michael Thompson's hanging out. Mm-hmm. I found this clip from Shaquille O'Neal on the All the Smoke podcast. And the All the Smoke podcast gets pretty much anybody they want to do the
really,
show.
Yeah, people like going on there because those guys both played in the league.
Yeah, really good show. So here is what Shaq said about the way things went down at the very end with the Lakers.
He was a guy that wanted it right away. And we all understand pecking order. Mm-hmm. My team. That ain't about to happen.
Right.
But I saw that he had something in him. This is where I wish I was a little bit more tactful. Egos get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
That word my team will mess you up.
Yeah.
A lot of necessary stuff that shouldn't have happened because of the ego. And it was probably my fault.
If you had the wisdom you have now back then, how many championships you feel like you guys could have won?
Seven.
Seven?
Because the reason why I got traded, it wasn't about me and Kobe beef. It was what they wanted me to take less money.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I got money. I had money.
Right.
I just should have been like, all right, I raised you enough. It's your team now.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm still going to do my 28-10.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But I was like, nah, I want 150.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you, like, if I had all I would do again, I probably would have had a meeting with the family. What y'all want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Want me to take less money, take a less role, stay here, or you would still want me to be Shaq? See, it's that ego.
Mm-hmm.
And the ego still got me what I want. I still went to Miami, Pat took care of me, I still won one, but I would have liked to have stayed there the rest of my career.
Wow. There you go. Says, would have liked to stay with the Lakers for the rest of his career. I wish I was more tactful. A lot of stuff happened that wasn't necessary, and that his ego got in the way. Have you ever heard Shaq talk that way about his time with the Lakers?
Not that candid, but Michael, are you still there?
Yeah.
You know, Michael told this to both Shaq and Kobe independently. Really? Yeah, they would come back on the plane, and, you know, Jerry West tried to tell him. Like, yep. Everybody would tell him individually, hey, guys, whatever is bothering you, you got to get in a room and work it out, because if you're together, you guys are Superman and Batman. You can't be defeated.
Yep.
You know, you'll go to 10 finals, but nobody would – Michael, they all said they heard you, but nobody listened,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they could have got 6 rings. Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman didn't hang out off the court. They weren't buddies, but they understood that on the court together, they had something special and unique, and they were going to make the most of it and play it out until the end. And they actually even ended the dynasty in Chicago probably a year too soon. But, yeah, Shaq and Kobe should have just said, you know what, yeah, I want to be the alpha, you want to be the alpha, but bleep it, let's be the alphas together and win a few more of these rings.
Yeah, it's not. It's the pecking order thing. It's the it's my team thing.
Yeah.
That exists with a lot of players. What's interesting is, you know, Kyrie.
Steph Curry was the greatest example. When KD came, Steph said, "Hey, KD, be yourself." Even
good
though
example.
I'm the man here, but we brought you here to win rings.
Well, and that's what Brooklyn's going to have to do. Brooklyn's going to have to figure that out. They haven't had those three guys on the floor very much. Last night it was KD with no Kyrie and no Harden. Who knows when Harden's coming back. But, you know, there's going to be a pecking order. I mean, who gets the last shot in that group?
It all depends.
Does everybody feel about it?
With those three guys, it doesn't matter who's ever hot that night. But the other two guys know that KD is the best player on that team.
Right.
They know that.
All right. So, Michael, I use that as a – way to ask this question. What is, for you, your greatest personal regret?
I got
be
two
honest.
Of them. I got two of them.
Okay.
I retired at 36. I should have played 2 more years. This bugs me till this day. I was in great shape. Pat Riley asked me to come to New York as a 36-year-old backup to Ewing, and I said no because I didn't want to move across the country, and I regret doing that. I could have squeezed out 2 more years. And number two, probably my biggest one is that I regret I didn't have my boys or my kids when I was in my early 20s instead of my early 30s. And I am so envious of LeBron and how he had his kids early, and they grew up watching him and understanding what he did and what he does.
Oh, that's good.
And at 39 or 40, he will probably actually play in the NBA for a year with his son, Bronny.
With his son.
That is so cool.
Yeah,
that is going to be his greatest achievement.
John, greatest regret.
Well, I'll throw this out there that, and this is a little serious, but I think that it's something.
It's National Honesty Day, so be serious.
Okay, so as you guys all know, I'm the father of a special needs kid. My son's on the autism spectrum. I knew when he was young, maybe 2 or 3, that something was up. And we tried to think, we went with the he'll grow out of it thing.
Right.
And when he got older, he got a formal diagnosis. He got an IEP and he's doing fine. And I think he'll eventually find his way. But if you know early intervention is really key with stuff like that. So the earlier you can get started on specialty programs to kind of get them mainstream, the better off you are. And Lisa and I just said, well, you know what? He's just a quirky kid. He'll work himself out of it. And then we realize, okay, he's got ADHD and he's got some learning deficiencies. And then we immediately dove in head first.
Sure.
But I wish we would have started sooner. That's my biggest one.
Lindsay, what about you? National Honesty, what is your biggest regret?
Well, when we were talking about doing biggest regrets, I thought we were doing biggest sports regrets.
Well, that's fine. You can do a sports one.
Wasn't really thinking about personal ones. Now take me a while to think about that. Put me on the spot like that.
I mean, really,
what's your sports one?
Yeah.
Well, like for my sports teams, I think that
the Ernest Biner fumble.
Oh, that's a good one.
She wasn't even born.
Oh, she wasn't born yet?
Pre-Lindsay. How old do you think she is?
I think it would come close between either the Indians when they were going to trade Jarrett Wright for Pedro Martinez, and they thought, oh, no, that's too much. We're not going to give away Jarrett Wright. Ridiculous now, looking back on it.
Well, or, I'd like to be a Dodger fan. We traded Pedro Martinez for Delino DeShields.
By the way, underreported, Delino DeShields had two really good years for the Dodgers. He's not going to the Hall of Fame like Pedro, but he had two pretty good years.
What's your other biggest sports regret?
That the Cavs didn't try harder to keep Kyrie and LeBron together for one more year.
Maybe they tried, but they, you know, Gilbert sort of ruined that relationship. And him and LeBron didn't get along, right?
Yeah.
I thought, you know what your biggest regret in Cleveland should be, Lindsay? Drafted Baker Mayfield instead of Lamar Jackson.
I mean, I guess the jury's still out because Baker got farther than Lamar Jackson did in the playoffs last year. So.
Yeah, but who would you rather have at quarterback?
I don't know, actually.
Really?
By the way, Mason, when you said to Michael, how old do you think she is?
Yeah.
What does that remind you of?
It reminds me of when you asked Tommy Lasorda's wife if she knew Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Okay, so Michael.
Oh, my God.
Shoeless Joe Jackson and Joe Lasorda are from the same small town in South Carolina.
Okay, yeah.
All right, and so Shoeless Joe was, you know, he was kind of kicked out of baseball around 1920.
That's right.
All right, but then went to, he lived a lot of years after that. And so Joe was born around 1930. And so I said, well, you guys are from the same small town. Have you ever met Shoeless Joe? You know, being that it was only 10 years after he got kicked out of baseball that she was born. And Lasorda, there were like 10, 15 people at the table, including Mason, stands up and goes, Jesus, Ireland, how old do you think my wife is?
Well, she could have possibly met him as a 10-year-old, right?
Shoeless Joe was like born in 1887.
Right, but Joe Lasorda was born roughly in like the late 20s, early 30s. Uh-huh. So they could have crossed paths.
Yeah. Also, Shoeless Joe died in 51.
Right, but so at that point, Joe Lasorda would have been 21.
Yeah, that could have happened.
Like, for example, Michael met Muhammad Ali when he was 12.
I met Jesse Owens.
Yeah, I met Muhammad Ali, but when he was older, on the 20th anniversary of the Norton Ali fight.
I mean,
San Diego.
Yeah, Shoeless Joe. She was 20. She could have definitely crossed paths in a small town like that.
It was a memorable moment. How old do you think my wife is?
Maybe Tommy thought you asked if she saw Joe play. Maybe that's what he was thinking.
No, I just said, have you ever met Shoeless Joe Jackson? Oh. And before she could answer, Tommy just crushed me.
Sounded like Don Rickles when he said to Frank Sinatra, what are you doing over here?
You're killing me. Get out of here.
All right. Coming up next for you is Fast Track. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.